Welcome to The Dildork, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex blogger, a sex journalist, and I've been having strap-on sex for over a decade. Holy shit, who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger, and I had a lot of strap-on sex this weekend.
I am proud
of
you.
Thanks so much.
So, for the listener's benefit, we were going to record this episode before the weekend, and then I told Bex the topic, and he was like, well, actually, can we do it after the weekend, because I'm having a lot of strap-on sex this weekend, so I will be able to do some research, as it were.
You know, planning. As much reference material as possible.
Yeah, you gotta know your shit before you talk about it on the show. Except sometimes we very much don't, but whatever, that's part of the fun.
But at least we're transparent about it.
Yeah. Okay, so strap-on sex. Wow, you know, when I wanted to do this episode, I was thinking about it, and I was like, I felt like I didn't have a lot of experience with it, but when I actually sat down and thought about it, like, I have fucked and been fucked by people, like, all across the gender spectrum with strap-ons, like, many times, now that I think about it, so excited to get into it. Bex, I'm curious, what came first for you, strapping on or getting fucked by a strap-on? It's like chicken or the egg, but so much better.
I think I got fucked with a strap-on first. The first time I had sex with someone with a vulva. I know I held the toy in my hand when I fucked them, but I don't remember if they strapped on. I think they did. If not, then I strapped on first, and that was much more recently. But that was a long time ago, so I don't remember for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, my first strap-on sex experience was actually my first, like, penetrative sex experience of any kind. I was 16, and my, like, fuck buddy at the time had bought a harness and a dildo, and she was really stoked about it. I shouldn't be too hard on myself about this, because it was one of my first times ever having sex, but it was also, like, probably the worst sex I've ever had, because, like, you know, this person also hadn't had a ton of sex, and certainly had not used a strap-on before, and so, like, we just couldn't find an angle that would work, and we tried several different positions, and they were all really uncomfortable, and just, like, or the dildo wouldn't go in or whatever. Eventually, I got on top of her, and I was, like, riding her for, like, half an hour, thinking that she was enjoying it, and I was exerting myself, I was literally dripping sweat onto her, and I heard, like, her breathing shift after a while in a way that was vaguely pleasure-sounding, and I was like, did you come? And she was like, no, did you? And I was like, no. And it was just one of those things where, like, when you're young and you don't know how to sexually communicate, so you just do a thing that you're not sure if it's working at all for half a fucking hour. Pretty weird.
Yeah.
Not an auspicious start to my strap-on career.
But you got better at it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
alright. Practice.
So yeah, I have. And I will. You've been having more strap-on sex lately. How are you liking it?
It had never, like, super appealed to me in the past as, like, before gender feelings. So I was like, yeah, that's cool, sure, whatever. And I kind of thought that's how I was going to approach it now, but more recently, now that I'm, like, in a place where I have, like, a pretty thorough understanding of what my gender, at least as thorough as I can, of, you know, what my gender is and how I feel and whatever, I've actually found strap-on sex really affirming and, like, did not expect to. I was like, oh, this will be fine, sure. But it does really good gender things, and I'm super into topping, which is, like, y'all know me. But, yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting to me, because you traditionally have, like, not identified as a top and, like, haven't done very much topping. But, like, it seems like you're really enjoying topping for this particular thing.
Yeah, which is really cool. And it's, like, brings out, like, minorly dommy feelings, but not really. Like, I'm still very much in a submissive place while I'm doing it. And I think it just kind of emphasizes that dichotomy between topping and domming, and how they're not necessarily the same thing, right? The top does the action, the dominant controls the scene. Oftentimes they overlap, but they don't have to. And I'm curious if I would be enjoying this in the same way, or, like, kind of recognizing my enjoyment of it in the same way if I hadn't already heard about that dichotomy and wasn't already kind of fluent in it. I wonder if I would feel differently or more confused by, like, my desire to top when I don't super mm-hmm. want to dom anyone, you know?
Yeah, I find it a really interesting sexual act for DS dynamics and, like, topping versus doming, because I feel like mm-hmm. you can be a strap-on top, whether you're a dommy or subby, and, like, I've done it both ways, and it's been really good and really fun both ways. It's just a matter of, like, the kind of shit you say and, like, how you're feeling and your dynamic with this particular person, and it just, like, for me, it can really go either way, even though, like, we traditionally think of it as, like, maybe more of a dommy thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, a fave thing for me is wearing, like, a collar and leash and, like, fucking a dominant partner while they're like, pulling me on my leash to get me going at the rhythm that they want, which yeah. is just a lovely example of submissive topping. So good. Topping.
Yeah.
So good. Okay, so I solicited listener questions for this episode, and people have a lot of questions about strap-ons.
I feel like we always get a lot of strap-on questions.
It's true. This is, like, we've been wanting to do this episode for a while because people are very curious about it. Like, a really broad range of people, too. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
So, a lot of people are curious about products and want product recs. So, I'm wondering, like, what is your current go-to strap-on setup? What is your favorite harness and dildo?
So, I use the Aslan Jaguar, which is a leather jockstrap-style harness, which I actually find more affirming than, like, one of the underwear-style harnesses, which is interesting. I think because it's a little less obtrusive. I don't, but I think it says some things about my gender that leather is more affirming.
Yeah, makes sense.
I do also think it's because it's less obtrusive. Like, the boxer-style ones are, like, the whole bottom half of my body. But I also generally wear a shirt lately while I'm fucking, because of a lot of top surgery feelings. And just a lot of dysphoria around my chest in general, which wasn't always a thing. But if, when I'm wearing a shirt, it can kind of cover a lot of the harness. It's not necessarily that long, but from my angle looking down or whatever, a smaller harness takes up a lot less space. And as far as dicks, I generally prefer Vixkin myself. It looks more realistic. I like the way they look. As far as which one, whatever the person I'm fucking wants to get fucked with, I feel much more strongly about them feeling good than I do about a particular dick being my dick.
Yeah.
I played with one recently that, this weekend, that wasn't even realistic, and I, like, thought I was gonna feel some type of way about it, but honestly, like, it was still fine. The decks I tend to leave up to whoever I'm playing with, but I personally really enjoy Vixkin, and I love receiving them, because they've got that nice squishy plush head, which is really great when you can't feel your own dick. Because a firmer toy can feel like a battering ram against someone's cervix if you're fucking someone with a cervix. And you can't necessarily feel how deep you are, versus something like a Vixkin toy with that really, really squishy tip is gonna, you're still gonna bump them, and it still might not feel great, but at least it has some padding on it, you know? And obviously communicating around that is the best way to mitigate that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and that is definitely, like, one of the primary difficulties when you start being a strap on top, is, like, you can't really feel what you're doing. You have to use, like, a lot of other sensory information to try to figure out what's working. I always find myself staring at my partner's face while I'm fucking him, just, like, very, very focused on his face, because I'm looking for, like, any twinge of pain or discomfort, and I'm not normally that focused on his face. So it makes me more present in a way, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I was playing recently with a dick that we couldn't use the whole length, or we just didn't want to in that moment. And I wound up having to, like, stare directly at a single point on the dick and be like, this is how deep I can go. because I can't feel it. So I just kept looking, and I was like, if I look away, I'm going to lose it. So I just, like, was staring at it until finally we were like, all right, we're getting another dick. We're doing, I'm sorry. We were using one of the Tantus uncuts, so they're so goddamn long.
Oh, those
they're
are fantastic, super long, yeah.
But they're so long.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, usually I recommend a longer dildo for strap-on stuff if you can, because the harness and the O-ring and everything takes off about 1 inch, usually, of the usable length. So you don't want to use something that is short or kind of, like, just right to begin with, necessarily. Like, you want something maybe a little bit longer than you're used to, but, yeah, that uncut dildo is very, very long.
Yeah, yeah, it's ridiculous.
I also use the Aslan Jaguar harness, but mine is pink because
naturally.
Femme life. Yeah, I used to have the black leather one, and then they came out with the pink one, and I traded my black one to somebody in a kinky trading group for the pink one because I was like, clearly I need this. It's a really, really beautiful shade of like raspberry pink, and I love it. It matches a lot of my clothes and like the adorable knee socks that I tend to be wearing during sex. And the dildo I use most often with it is GoToMiche makes a dildo called the Ambit, which is like a really nice G-spot or prostate dick. It looks like slightly realistic, but still not really, especially because mine, I ordered mine in the pink glitter that they do, which is like a really, really beautiful, very sparkly, bright pink silicone. And as like a cis femme who doesn't super want to feel like I have an actual dick strapped to me, like that works really well for me because it is like the most obnoxiously girly thing. And also my partner finds it really good for prostate stuff. So yeah, I've had good experiences with that one.
Yeah. And that is very much your gender rolled up in a dick.
Yeah. The other one that I am lusting after is the New York Toy Collective Carter in their sort of like pink and blue swirl colorway, because that's sort of like a bigger one with that softer dual density silicone. So I think that that would be a good upgrade if I ever get around to it.
Yeah.
Let's get into the listener questions. People have so many. There were a lot of like the same questions over and over again, which is interesting. People are curious and nervous about strap-on play. So a lot of beginning tops are nervous about like the actual thrusting motion, like they feel like they don't have the rhythm down or the angle or just like the actual motion. Do you have any tips for like learning to fuck, basically?
I mean, practice. Like, don't put a dick on for the first time in front of the person you're about to fuck. Unless you're, like, super comfortable with this person. And, like, even then, don't do it right before you're about to fuck them. Because I've put on a lot of strap-ons, and I'm still not graceful when I do it. So, like, the first time, you're gonna feel silly, you're gonna feel awkward, and you're gonna, like, once it's on, I promise you, once it's on, the first thing you're gonna want to do is poke stuff with it. Because I have never put a strap-on dick on someone who doesn't have an attached dick. And had them not be like, oh my god, and run around and, like, place it on the nearest table. Or, like, just, like, poke things with it. Like, it's just, it's an impulse. Do it, in a totally non-sexual environment. Put it on, go fuck around, like, dance around your house in it. Just get used to how it feels on your body and how it moves with your body. Like, fucking put on a playlist and have a dance party with your dicks out. Like, whatever. But get used to how it feels on your body so you can move it as kind of an extension of you. And that's going to give you a lot more confidence. Also, a lot of harnesses are adjustable, so it gives you a chance to adjust all of the pieces and only undo one, which is really convenient for taking it on and off when you're playing. And then just a lot of communication with your partner. It doesn't, like, you don't have to go hard and fast the whole time.
Yeah.
Which I think is a lot of
things. Most people probably don't want you to.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think is a lot of things cis dudes need to be told too. but, like, I feel like queer folks put on our dicks and then completely forget that we know that fact from fucking cis dudes. Yeah, I've also jerked off at home with my strap on and just, like, explored how my body moves when I'm turned on. And, like, what it feels like to move in that way alone, and I think that's been helpful, too. Like, I think it's a matter of practice, and I think it's less stressful than a lot of people are chalking it up to be.
Yeah, I mean, you can practice the physical motion by, like, say, putting a pillow on the bed and, like, sliding your dick in between the pillow and the bed and, like, thrusting that way, or, like, even, like, hold your hand in one position to make kind of a hole and fuck that, or, like, however you want to practice. Yeah. The other thing is, like, if you really have trouble with that hip motion, an alternative option might be a thigh harness, because depending on, like, what your body's like, you might find that thigh fucking motion easier to achieve and to maintain than the hip motion. So, like, I have a thigh harness from the Unicorn Collaborators. It is gorgeous leather, and it's really fun to fuck and be fucked with that.
You can also start out with positions that require less work on your part, so maybe someone rides you while you're laying down or sitting in a chair, and then you can kind of get used to what the movement feels like when they're doing it, and then you can kind of replicate that back, and gradually become more engaged, because like, you certainly can thrust when you're on the bottom, and you can, like, slowly work your way into it, rather than a position like missionary, or if you're fucking someone from behind, where a lot of it is just based on your movement, and it for me feels like more pressure.
Yep, makes sense. People are very curious about strap-on BJs. I wonder if you have thoughts on, like, are strap-on BJs good? And, like, how do you make them good?
Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like we've said this a million times, but strap-on blowjobs are great. The big pushback is everyone is like, there's no nerve endings. Yeah, but I have fucking eyes. People look hot when they're sucking dick. I like to watch. I don't... and at the same time, the bass can grind into whatever bits a person does have there and stimulate any nerve endings that way, and that feels great. As far as making them better, like I said, it a big part of strap-on blowjobs, a big part of what I enjoy is... the theatricality, the visuals, the sound. I can't feel it, so I need other things. So focusing more on techniques that are more visual is gonna be better for a strap-on dick than, like, more precise stuff that might feel better on a flesh and blood one, but the strap-on can't feel it. So a lot of that precision is kind of lost. I know you have some thoughts on this as well.
Yeah, I've received only a couple of strap-on BJs, but I did find that I enjoyed the visual aspect more because, like, as you said, that's, like, mostly what you have. And I don't normally look at people while they're going down on me, but I did while I was receiving these BJs because, like, I really wanted to see, like, their pretty mouth and... like, a lot of eye contact was... not a lot. I have anxiety.
I was, like, a moderate amount of eye contact.
Yeah.
By that you mean he glanced at you once and you squealed and giggled.
Yep.
I understand. A moderate amount of eye contact. I saw his eyes once.
Attacked. Roasted. The other thing, too, is the regular things that you might do with your hands while you're, like, really, really getting into oral sex, like grabbing their hips or their thighs or whatever, those things are really good during a strap-on BJ because, like, you're not getting as much sensory input as you might get during normal, like, oral sex without a strap-on. So, you know, other sensory input is really good.
Yeah, and I recently, while getting a blowjob, had my partner was fingering and eventually fisting me, I think, while sucking my strap on. And when stuff like that is happening, I close my eyes a lot during sex, because I get really overwhelmed and really overstimulated. So for me, that was happening while I'm, like, I've got a hand in me. That's a lot. And even then,
yeah.
I was thinking, like, all right, well, so what I know is good about strap-on blowjobs is the visual, and this is happening, and I can't keep my eyes open because there is so much happening. So, like, why am I even getting my dick sucked? But I started paying attention, and, like, I could feel the movement of the silicone against me, and, like, I could feel the resistance as I was going into someone's mouth or their throat. So there was sensation there. Like, there aren't nerve endings on the dick, but I can feel the way the dick moves and the way it interacted with whatever hole it was going into. So it's not, like, totally numb. It's not like my eyes were closed and I was, and it was like nothing was happening to me. Like, I was still experiencing getting my dick sucked.
Yeah. And, I mean, even if you do have your eyes closed, there's the psychological...
Yeah, exactly.
And, by the way, if you are wanting to be a giver of strap-on blowjobs and you want to be that kind of, like, visual, theatrical giver in this way, but you're not really sure how to do that, I would really recommend watching, like, POV blowjob porn. It's one of my favorite genres. I love it. But you can watch, like, Little Oral Andy is a fave, or, like, Heather Harmon. And, like, these are people who... are giving good BJs, but are also giving BJs cognizant that there is a camera on them. So they are very sexy and very visual, and lots of eye contact and lots of fun tongue stuff, and just like a lot to look at. A feast for the senses, if you will.
Yeah.
People are curious about those strapless strap-ons, which if you haven't seen them, it's sort of like a double-ended dildo, except like one end goes inside usually the vagina of the wearer, and then the other end like juts out like a strap-on dick might. And the idea is like you don't need a harness, you can just like fuck with this, and also like the person wearing it gets some like G-spot pressure. Do you have any experience with those?
I haven't used them with a partner. I think I've fucked around with a couple, like, solo. I have heard nothing good about them, though. If you put them in a harness, I've heard in a harness that they will stay in place and feel fine, but there are so many better options, and you wind up splitting the difference on a toy like that and getting something that sort of works for both people, because nothing really works for... Like, you're not going to find a toy that's going to fit both people's bodies perfectly the way you want to. So you're both kind of compromising and getting stuck with a toy that... Most of them are too rigid for strap-on sex anyway and not a great shape. And, like, yeah, they're gimmicky, and I've heard, I generally don't recommend them. Also, Piff wrote a review of, like, a ton of them that we can link to.
Yeah, I was gonna... I'll link that in the show notes for sure, because, like, Piff did a huge roundup of, like, she tried a bunch of different ones of these, and the main thing that I remember from reading that review was that there was a lot of slippage. Like, these things were just, like, constantly sliding out and not staying put. Which is, like, some people say you can use a harness with them, you can use certain types of harnesses with them. But I don't know. I think kind of might be better to just, like, buy a regular-ass dildo.
Yeah. And there's, we're going to talk about this a little bit in a minute, because I know there are some folks who asked about, like, stimulation for the wearer. But Aslan makes something called, what is it? The double the up double cuff, duty cuff, I think. Something like that, yeah. It's a little cuff that attaches to their jockstrap-style harnesses that allows you to add another dick that would go into the wearer. So that way you can buy two dildos that will both fit the shape and size that work for your bodies, and then both have penetration in the same at the same time.
Yeah. Pretty great. Best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah, people really wonder about pleasure for the person wearing the thing, and I think, like, folks who don't know a lot about this are like, why would anyone enjoy that? You can't feel anything. Which, again, like, you can kind of feel stuff, and also there's the visual and the psychological, so there's all of that. But also, I was doing some research today, and Sinclair Sexsmith, who has written a lot about strap-on sex, says that they really like the single-strap Aslan Jaguar. It just has one strap instead of two that go around the butt cheeks, and they really like it because it hits their clit while they're fucking, so they can actually get off that way, which is cool. I know that a lot of harnesses, like the rodeo ones and various others, have like a little pocket where you can put like a bullet vibe behind the dildo so that it sort of like rubs against your bits while you're fucking. There's also like Fuse makes strap-on specific dildos that have like a ridged base that's supposed to feel good against the clit. I don't know how good that would really feel, but it's worth a shot, I guess. And then they also have like a hole in the base where you can put a bullet vibe. So those are some potential options. Do you know of any other ones?
Yeah, most of mine are more like sex toy hacks that I've come up with in the sex shop. The WeVibe Dusk is a butt plug. This I learned from Piff. It's a butt plug with a hole in the base for the tango. But if you wear it vaginally and clench your kegels, it holds the tango along your labia and right up against your clit. And anytime you clench your kegels, you can pull it up against your clit. So that sits in place really nicely under a harness. You can also wear a WeVibe under a harness. And the great thing about those is they're remote control. So you or your partner could control it from your cell phone, from anywhere, which is neat. And the WeVibe does that C shape, tends to sit in place really nicely. I don't know if it still exists, but the G-Key from Jeju is an adjustable G-spot toy, and if you adjust the hinges all of the way so that it's a tight C, I know some folks who have also worn that internally and had the outside thing against their bits while they were wearing a harness, and that's going to give you a lot more G-spot pressure that way.
Cool. You're a fucking sex toy MacGyver. I love it.
Yeah.
The other thing is, like, you should take this into account when you're shopping for a harness, like, whether you are going to want additional genital stimulation while you're wearing it, because there are certain ones, like the rodeo ones, the underwear style ones, where it is hard to access your bits while you have it on, and then there are ones like the Aslan one and various other types where, like, they're pretty much out there, so you can, like, receive penetration and even potentially, like, have someone rub your bits under the dildo while you're getting sucked off or whatever. So, yeah, definitely think about that when you buy your harness.
Also, the magic wand, which I use for fucking everything, has enough length that I can usually reach, like, around people's bodies. Like, I had someone on top of me and was able to kind of reach around with the magic wand to reach my own bits. So I had the wand against me while they were riding me. So a toy with a little bit of length like that can also be really nice. If you don't want to go with, because I feel like so many people, when they're thinking stimulation while they're in a harness, they want something that is, like, completely seamless, and you know, it feels like it's not even there. And, like, there are options for that, but if you want something more, like, hands-on, or just want to work with what you have, a good wand vibe works just fine.
That is awesome. I also think it's worth considering that, like, not all sex acts have to give all participants direct pleasure necessarily. Like, I can imagine it being hot in kind of a DS way if I was thinking of my strap-on almost like a chastity belt, where it's like, I can't actually be genitally stimulated while I'm doing this thing, and, like, it's just for my partner's pleasure, and I am just serving him. So that can be a neat way to reframe it, and then maybe you get off at a different time during the session.
Yeah.
So, speaking of harnesses, people are very curious about harnesses. They want recommendations. We talked about the Aslan Jaguar, which is a mutual fave. I just find, like, it stays put really well. It doesn't, like, jiggle around a whole bunch. I don't have to readjust it a million times. When I take it off, I can just undo one side, and when I put it back on, I can just step into it and do up the one side again. It's, like, really easy once you got it set up. You can switch out the O-ring for different sized O-rings, but, I mean, you've tried other harnesses, yeah?
Some. The Spare Parts Jock is great. It's machine washable, which I really like. It's really adjustable, I think more so than the Jaguar. And it's the one I sold all of the time. I just don't like it as much aesthetically. I just really like leather. But functionally, it's probably one of the best harnesses out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one gets a lot of good reviews. I've tried the rodeo ones that are sort of like a brief style, and they're cute, and they're also inexpensive, which is great if you're just starting out and like trying strap-on stuff and you're not sure if you're gonna like it. So that's a plus. But I have found that they lack sort of like stability, so if you're using like a long or big dildo, it might like flop around and be harder to control. And also you can't swap out the O-ring, you're just stuck with the one that's in there. It's got like a little bit of stretch but not a ton, so you're a little bit limited on size range of dildos you can use with that one.
And they're not the most durable.
Oh, interesting. Good to know.
Yeah. I mean, they're perfectly great for their price point, but compared to, like, a spare parts harness, which is double the price, you're going to get way more than double the lifespan out of it.
Yeah, I've also got experiences with the harness that's sold with the Tantus strap-on sets. Like, they have, like, the bend-over beginner set and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
that's those made are, like, the
pretty well-priced sets.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is like nylon-y backpack straps, which to me just like doesn't put me in a sexy headspace really, so those are not my fave. But I did used to sell a lot of those introductory sets when I was working sex toy retail because it's usually a pretty good deal. I think it's usually like a couple of dildos and a harness and a bullet vibe. So if you want to just like get the whole kit and caboodle to try it out, that's a good option. But if you are more kind of wanting control over your experience, you might want to pick out an individual harness and dildo and have control over every aspect of it.
Yeah, I don't hate those adjustable, like, backpack-style harnesses. They're super cheap, and they don't, like, you have to retighten them over. Like, think, like, when you're walking with a cheap backpack, and you have to retighten it because it starts to kind of sag down your back. Same idea. But, like, for trying something out, I would sell them, and, like, people would like them. My only thing about the bend-over beginner kit from Tantus is it comes with the silk 1 and 2. And the silk, or silk small and medium, or whatever, the medium is rad for, like, trying strap-on stuff, but the small does not make sense in a harness, I don't think, and I think the way most people's bodies fit together, it's too short, so, like, if you know you're getting a handheld toy, when you're getting it, great, but I don't think the silk small makes sense in a harness. Plus, it's the size of an index finger, and I'd rather sell you a glove than a toy when you can just do that.
But. Another thing I get asked about a lot is femme harnesses, cute harnesses for femmes to wear. Because, like, a lot of harnesses have kind of, like, an androgynous or a boyish aesthetic, although there have been more options coming up for femme ones. So, like, I know Tantus makes some. I haven't really read any reviews of the Tantus harnesses, so I can't really speak to that personally. I know Rodeo makes some ones that are, like, panties, like, lacy, cute ones. There's also Velvet Nest, but I have heard many, many bad things about their customer service and order fulfillment, so I don't know if I would officially recommend them, but they are very cute. If you can find them at, like, a supplier that isn't Velvet Nest, like a shop, like, that's where I would recommend getting one of those.
If you were to buy them, I would buy them through Stockroom, because you'll never get it if you buy it through the company. Or you will, like, year down the line.
Yeah. Also, like, Aslan Leather makes, as I said, the pink leather version of the Jaguar. I think they also have one that's purple and another one that's, like, pale blue and white. They also make, like, a lot of, like, matching sets. So if you really want your harness to match, like, your cuffs or your collar or some other piece that you're wearing, then that's a really fun way to do that. And Aslan stuff is beautiful and high quality, and I would highly recommend it.
All right, so we also got a lot of questions about people with penises wearing harnesses, and I know, like, a little about it, but I know you have experience there, so can you tell me a little more about that?
Yeah, so they do make, actually, like, harnesses that are designed for people with penises, and also, like, hollow dicks for those strap-ons. Like, I used to sell those a lot in retail to folks experiencing erectile difficulties, and I don't know a lot about those personally, but my experience with this is my first ever cis male partner on a couple of occasions put on my rodeo harness, which is the, like, stretchy, comfy briefs one, and just sort of, like, tucked his dick up and out of the way and fucked me with a dildo. And, like, the thing that was nice about this was, like, it gave me more options of things to be fucked with that were not his dick. Like, it's just, you know, different size-wise, shape-wise, texture-wise. And I was actually, like, really, really impressed that he was able to do that, because he was, like, a 22-year-old boy. Like, I think a lot of dudes would feel, you know, insecure or uncomfortable about that, but he was totally confident about it because he understood that it was just, like, another way of, you know, fucking me and making me feel good. So that's really fun. Awesome. I have heard from some people who have tried to do this that it's uncomfortable, like, if your dick starts to get hard or whatever and there's a dildo pounding against it, that might not be great. So maybe experiment with different positions, but it is possible.
Yeah, and if you want to look for the, I know you mentioned in passing, the harness that's made for that is from Spare Parts, the Deuce, I believe. And it has, like, a little pocket at the bottom for your junk to go in and, like, a little hole so that your dick can come out of there and has space to either get hard or not. And if your dick does get hard and you're strapped on, then you can DP, because that's kind of the way the setup is, or you can just use one dick or the other. So that's super cool.
One more question before we go. I'm curious if there's anything you want to do with strap-ons that you haven't gotten a chance to do, or any fantasies you're having about them, or just, like, future strap-on goals.
I mean, we just mentioned this in the fantasies episode, but I'd really like to strap on during a three or moresome, some sort of group something or other, so that I could get fucked while fucking someone. Like, I got to play with that a little bit, while, like, with blowjobs and hand stuff happening, but I'd like to do more of that. What's on your strap-on bucket list?
Oh, gosh. So I just recently did a feminization scene with my partner. He's very, like, cis boy, but has enjoyed, like, wearing makeup and women's clothing in the past. So we did a scene where I, like, did his makeup and put my clothes on him, and we went out to a bar and just, like, felt what that felt like. And our plan was for me to peg him when we got back, but we had far too many drinks at the bar and I was wasted and gave him a hand job and fell asleep immediately. So we didn't get around to pegging. But
the most Kate really story. So I gave him a hand job and fell asleep.
Okay, you know what was really funny? It was that, like, when we talked about it the next day, he was like, "Oh man, your dirty talk was on point during that scene." And I was like, "What the fuck did I say?
I don't said remember things? Anything."
And he said that, like, I had put my panties on him, and he said that I kept saying to him, like, "It seems like you want to come in these panties." And he was, like, really into it, but I was like, "I don't fucking remember saying that."
I mean, right, presumably though. He did want to come in those panties, though, like...
Yes.
Drunk King wasn't wrong.
We both have kinks about intoxicated sex, so it's totally fine. but I do think it would be fun to fuck my cis boy partner while he's all dolled up, because I just really enjoy gender fuckery. I enjoy being a bi person, dating another bi person. There's a lot of just, like, fun things you can do there. And I also kind of have, like, femme-bully feelings about, like, wearing, like, my sparkly pink dick and fucking a person who's, like, wearing makeup that I put on them and clothes that I put on them. It just feels... Oof, really powerful. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of The Dildorks. I hope it inspires you to go out and have some strap-on adventures if you are so inclined. I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find all my writing at BexTalkSex.com, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram at BexTalkSex. Together, we're the Dildorks. You can find us at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram, and at TheDildorks.com. You can also find us by searching the Dildorks in your favorite podcast app. While you're there, rate and review us. It brings us up in the charts. It makes us easier for other sex nerds to find. If you want to support us, you can head over to Patreon.com/TheDildorks to toss a couple of bucks our way. Gets you red perks and helps us keep doing what we're doing.
Thanks so much to Protodome. He did our theme song, I Want You in My Bedroom. And thank you also to Amy. She is at starboots_ on Twitter, and she did our logo. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye.
Bye.
You want to do a countdown?
Yeah, 5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Yeah.
Strap on sex.
Strap ons.
Woo.
Okay.
Oh my God. Your line is welcome to the Dildorks.
I know. I have a third thing. Oh. Every fucking time this happens, you think I forgot what I was supposed to say. I'm not just gonna start the sentence with no idea where it's gonna end.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I know. I'm not good at that.
It's a surprise even to me.
Okay.
We have some, like, ASMR stuff going on in the background with my cat just purring on my lap, too, so... Easter egg for anyone who hears that. Ow! Stop clawing me! That's my leg, cat!
Good.
So I got a message on Instagram today from a listener. Mm-hmm. Who was like, you know, I really enjoy your podcast, it's great, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, thanks, you know, that's so sweet, you know, whatever. And he was like, yeah, I just started listening, and I started at the beginning, so I'm back at 2017. And I wanted to be like, spoilers, buddy. Shit changes. He was like, I really like you. And I was like, you like 2017 me. We're gonna see how you feel about crotchety, jaded old 2019 me.
Twist.
And then, like, hours later, he sent me a message, and he was like, you know, I accidentally started one of the recent episodes, and I heard your voice, and stuff really has changed. I was like, yeah, man, I know.
I'm so glad we were podcasting while that was happening, because we have this great weekly record of your voice changing. It's amazing.
I know, I really love it.
Sometime. Yeah.
Hey, this is Bex. That's so just cute. A million times. I'm gonna start this is my voice 3 weeks on the Dildorks.
What a niche joke.